and at this time to share their spirit, strength, and hope on relationships, we have Kevin B. from Open Arms. The Open Arms Act. Is he here? Kevin B.? He's not. Okay. We're going to look for Kevin. In the meantime, we'll call up Rita B. from Westchester. Rita? Okay, Rita. She didn't want to go first. You got it. Yes, we gotta find Kevin.
Good afternoon, I'm Rita. I'm a grace and blessed recovered addict. And I thought y'all would be at the fashion show. So I graciously accepted this time slot because I didn't think anybody would be here. I'm nervous. I've been busy and running around with the convention, and I tried to center myself. And as soon as I got quiet and sat down to pray, housekeeping knocked on the door. And as soon as I came back, my partner came back with lunch. And my prayer was is just to ask God to let me share a clear and concise message and to be as honest as I could possibly be. Relationships is a topic that I really didn't want to talk about because I've only recently began to get good with relationships. And first and foremost, the relationship that I have with me. I was adopted at 10 days old. And it was difficult for me as growing up to establish a relationship with my family because I found out at 7 years old that I was adopted. And it was in a cruel way with kids playing. And I didn't want to play with what my cousin wanted to play. And she says, well, you're not one of us anyway, you know. You know, I went and I asked my mother, and she told me to the best of her ability that I was adopted, but she was still my mom. And but it did something to me on the inside. And that feeling of not belonging and finally figuring out why I didn't look like everybody else started to make sense. So it was always for me like a puzzle. With so many different pieces, but they never fit. And I didn't realize that my behaviors were influenced by the feelings that were generated because of the feelings of not belonging. And I wanted to be accepted. So I did things that I wasn't supposed to. I wanted to be the smart kid in school. I wanted to be the good kid at home. But then when I was with my friends, I wanted to be a part of. So I did what they did. I wanted love. I wanted love. And I didn't think that I was a pretty kid. And the men that would come over to our house would tell me that I was pretty, and it felt good. And because I participated, I thought that it was okay, and I didn't find out until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that what they did was wrong, not necessarily my response. And for years, those behaviors carried me. Saying yes when I really wanted to say no. To you, 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 and you. And that built up a callousness. So at 29 years old, when I came into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and I listened to the reading and it says, what is the Narcotics Anonymous program? And when it talked about, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion, I knew then that I had found a place. I didn't know that I would stay, but for the moment, it was a place because it sounded like you people were going to be okay, but I still needed to test the waters because throughout life, I developed trust issues. Not so much that I didn't trust you, but I didn't trust me and how I would respond to you if you didn't do what I thought you would. And that continued even in recovery. Yes, I stopped using and put the drugs down a day at a time, and I started working on steps with a relationship with a sponsor. And the first step was real easy to comprehend. Second step was a little more challenging. And then I got to a third step where it says I need to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. And I really didn't know if God was going to be good to me because I didn't feel that He had been. Because a lot of circumstances had transpired in my life, and if I felt that if there was really a God, then why did He allow those things to happen? So I didn't really want to talk to God. Because, you know, it was like they say, oh, you know, you pray and you find God, and they would say in the room, you know, that God has a sense of humor. But a lot of the things that happened, I really didn't find funny. You know, so he said, well, you know, you pray, and I didn't want to pray because I was still angry. And my sponsor said that you have to get on your knees because it's an act of humility. So throw your keys under the bed, and then in the morning you have to go and get them so you can lock the door. And while you're there, you say, please. Please help me to be the best person that I can be today to me. And if I be good to me, then maybe I can allow you to be good to me. Because my level of expectations changed as I began to get clean. All I knew in the beginning is that I didn't want to use. I didn't like the feeling that I had from using because I had alienated my family. When I got clean, I found out, you know, that now I had to have responsibility for an 11-year-old girl. I didn't really like her. And now, that you know, because I could now go to the store and come back, you figure that I'm supposed to now be responsible for her. And what am I supposed to do? You know, I got meetings to make, you know. But I had to establish a relationship with her. And it was no longer because I couldn't leave her with my mom and my aunt and just go by and drop off money. That was no longer being a parent. So they told me to get with women in the fellowship that had children and learn how to to be a parent, you know, so that I could restore that relationship. They taught me that I had to redevelop a relationship with my mother, because she was a good woman. She gave me a really, really good life. And I began to learn that a lot of the things that happened that I had blamed her for, they weren't her fault. Because I honestly believe that if I had talked about it, or I knew how to talk about it, which I learned in Narcotics Anonymous, to talk about my feelings, that maybe some of the pain that I carried for so long would have been better. Or could have been, some of the things that I did could have been prevented. Relationships with my family, some of them I wanted to restore and some of them I didn't. And what I learned in Narcotics Anonymous is that I had choices. And that was like such a profound revelation for me. And I had choices, that I could make choices. I could say no and it's okay. And I could exercise my right to make that choice. And when I got to my eighth and ninth step, there were different ways that I could make those amends, and it didn't always have to be face to face. And I understand now why they were eight and nine, because I needed a foundation. Because everybody that I wanted to make amends to really didn't care, or they really didn't want an amends. They had written me off. And if I didn't have a foundation, some of those situations may have made me relapse if I didn't have a foundation. So I understand the guidance, and for the newcomer, it's real important that you follow the guidance of a sponsor and utilize your support group before you go running around and repairing relationships. And I found out that some of them didn't need to be repaired. I can't. So I have to find a different way to do it. I do service. I work. I try to be a better me. During my daughter's teenage years, it was really, really difficult. Teenagers, I don't know why they don't just grow to like 9 and then they're 30. I guess they're stuck between, you know, the age of puberty and adulthood, and they're too old to be a kid, but they're not old enough to be an adult. And it took a long time to realize that, you know. And they want opinions, and they wanted, they, my grandmother say you start to smell themselves. And but then it's like, but you don't know I'm trying to stay clean, you know. And it was really, really rough during about 10 years with my daughter. And the hurtful things that were said and the painful circumstances that transpired, that if it wasn't for the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I would have used. Because, you know, yes, you can go to meetings and yes, you can talk to your sponsor, but it's like, how high maintenance do you want to be? You know, and then it goes back to the third step. It's like, you got to get a God that you can establish a relationship with, that you can talk to and name it, he, she, whatever it is. But it's real important that you get it. Because sometimes I may call you and you're not there. Sometimes I may not be able to articulate exactly what it is that I'm feeling because I'm hurting so bad. And all I can do is sit on the side of the bed and rock and moan and say, oh my God. So I have to establish a relationship with God in my understanding. And I'm so grateful that I did. And through that work, there's a better me. I'm not perfect, but I don't use a day at a time. Today, my daughter and I didn't kill her, I didn't smother her. You know that, you know that saying, I brought you here and I'll take you out, you know. A lot of addicts don't like to do service, so H and I may not bring a meeting to the jail that they put me in. So. So I had to step back and take a look at me. Because they said, and it's like Narcotics Anonymous is so simple. And it says, if you have point finger at you, I got three pointing back at me. So I need to look at the part I play in it. You know, and it's like, why am I yelling and screaming? Why can't I sit and talk to you? Why can't I respect the fact that if you say you don't want to talk, you don't want to talk? Why can't I hear you when you say, I don't spend any time with you, that I always have time for these other recovering addicts, that I can't stop and designate one day a week just for you? And if my recovery is so unstable that I can't set aside that one day, then something is wrong with me. And then if you don't make that day, when you start screaming and yelling later on, it's like, well, listen, I had Wednesday and you didn't show up. Then it puts the blame back on them. And I learned that from other women. And I learned how to exercise those practices in all areas of my life to keep the blame and focus on me. I'm only recently getting better in relationships. I am real clear that I don't like to apologize. So I try not to do things that I have to apologize for. So if we're having a discussion and something transpires that I don't necessarily like, I can either tell you then, or I can wait and tell you later. Because you can't unring a bell. Once it's out, it's out. And maybe if I sit with it for a minute, the response that I would have originally came out with may be totally different if I come back later. Because I can exercise my right and choose not to respond. You can't argue by yourself. I learned that if I'm comfortable with me, and you and I choose to be in a relationship, from that sit down and that agreement, I need to trust that. I don't need to be in your pocket. I don't need to clock your time. I just need to be present whenever we're together. You have an identity, and I have an identity. And we need to maintain that. So you can go and do what you want to do, and I can go and do what I want to do. Because we can't clock watch no anyway. My daughter taught me that. No, seriously, I had her involved in every activity after school between 2:30 and 6 o'clock that I could possibly enroll her in. and she still found a way to. Anyway. So, the same goes true in a relationship. That it's about being true to me and allowing that person to be true to themselves, which in turn would allow them to be true to me. Allow myself to not be so controlling, because I am. I don't like to admit it. It's like, no, I'm not controlling. I just like things a certain way. But then if you don't do it my way, then I feel some kind of way, so I must be controlling, right? But then if I understand that, I can be conscious and cognizant of how I treat you and what I say, you know, at work, at home. An incident transpired this morning over at registration, and the initial response was to, you know, flare up and yell and scream and take it personal. And it wasn't. But I had to take a look at how I was feeling. I'm tired. I hadn't eaten. And I was getting angry. And if you've been around for a minute, you know Hall, right? 3 out of 4 is not batting really good. So I walked away. And I used to think that walking away was a punk move. Walking away is a real, real prestigious, serene, Narcotics Anonymous move. Because had I been yelling and screaming, it would have gotten a lot of people's attention. And people look at how you act. You know, I remember being so proud of my NA keychains, right? You remember the key rings you collected?
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to wear them all the time. And I remember one day, you know, I got clean in Yonkers. Thank God for Getty Square. And one day, it was a Payless. And one day, someone stole some shoes out of Payless. And they came running out of Payless, and their key rings were like... And when I started working with my sponsor on traditions, and you learn that, you know, this is a program of attraction, not promotion, it's like, what I do, people are looking, you know, and I don't want them to feel some kind of way about Narcotics Anonymous and think that every person wearing the key rings is a thief. I stopped wearing mine, but I'm not a thief. But it helped me to understand that people watch us. You know, they've seen us in the grips of our addiction, and now that we're clean, they watch. You know, you people were the first people that trusted me when I got clean. You let me take the coffee pot home. You did. You let me take the whole box home. And you gave me money to go buy some cookies and milk for next week. Not tomorrow, next week. You know, so it's like trust is real important to me. My word has to mean something. You know, my mother used to say, you may never be rich, but let your word mean something. You know, and for me, I don't make promises, but I keep my word. Because people say promises are made to be broken. So I keep my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And I'm learning not to speak so fast and say, you read it, will you? And it's like, okay. And it's like, well, wait. What do you want me to do? So then I don't want to have to feel resentful when I'm doing it because I waited before I said yes. And I'm learning. I'm learning. And I'm grateful. And Narcotics Anonymous is a continual process. And it continues to help me to be better. And I know that if I don't use, that this too shall pass, no matter what it is. And I've been met with some challenges in Narcotics Anonymous, and they've been some painful challenges. But I didn't use, because I know one thing's for sure, that front page news doesn't stay front page news. Eventually, it moves to second, third page, and somebody else will do something, and then they're more important, and then spotlight's not on me anymore. You know, I know that me using doesn't bring people back from the dead. Me using won't bring my mother out of whatever catatonic state she's been in for the last 17 years in a nursing home. Me using won't change anything outside of me but me. So I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm so grateful for you being here with me today. There's hope. This convention is about a vision of hope. And I'm so grateful that the addicts that were present in my very first meeting had a vision of hope. And they kept the doors open that particular night when I showed up at my first meeting almost 22 years ago and allowed me to be me and allowed me to grow up. And I'm still growing so that I can establish relationships with people of my choosing. And with that, my name is Rita. I'm a blessed and grateful.
We would like to thank Rita. Let's give it up for Rita for relationships. Thank you, Rita. And our next speaker comes to us from Open Arms, and with that, I'll give you Kevin B.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Kevin. I'm an addict. I want to welcome anybody newer than myself, and I want to thank the committee for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and my hope. The topic was given to me was about relationships, and many of those I've had. Many of those were built in Narcotics Anonymous. Many of those was casted in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to talk a little bit about, like, first why I was late. I stayed for the last speaker, and I had like 30 minutes to get something to eat, and I ran down the street, and I got into the pizza parlor, and the gentleman in there, he owned the place, I come to find out, and he had a long story to tell me while I was eating my pizza. And it took a little longer than I expected, you know, and he bought my slice and my sister's slice because I listened to his story. So I'm sorry I'm apologizing to you guys, you know, because I came 5 minutes late. And I got to hear a good speaker, which I know and love, Rita, and I know, you know, from the day she came in, you know, and I'm grateful to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And what I wanted to talk about is, like, before I got here, there was a lot of relationships that I used and abused, you know, because I didn't know no other way, you know. Where I came from, I saw my dad hit my mom, and I thought that, like, you can beat him to stay, but I kept seeing my mom leave. So even then, it didn't work, but I tried it anyway. And, you know, I always think I don't have a control issue, and that's what I was trying to basically do. You know, I heard a speaker talk this morning about, you know, not being left, you know, and that's what basically what it was for me. I didn't want to be left alone and stuff. And, you know, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, they told me I had to change everything about me. And when I got involved in steps and realized who I was, I knew what they was talking about. You know, I began to get some clarity on some of that stuff that they was talking about. You know, the fears, talked about the fears. It talked about, like, the shame and the guilt. It talked about, like, some of the stuff that, like, I thought was stuff that I was going to die with. You know, these attitudes and these behaviors, you know. Because when I got here, I was fatally cool and terminally here. And, you know, they told me that, like, I had to leave all that stuff at the door. I'm just grateful that, like, when I got here, there was a lot of people that's here today that still in my life, you know, that's still showing me the way, you know, that the predecessors they talk about. I am truly grateful for them people, you know, like they kept the doors open. And for those who passed away, you know, who could no longer be with us, I heard a profound speaker say, move on to freedom and ease. And, you know, so, like, for me, I'm just grateful that, like, a day at a time, the program is working in my life. And I got married here. I mean, I got divorced here. I got married here. And I raised some kids here. You know, I established a job here. All of these things came about relationships. I got relationships with people in the fellowship, and I asked them to put my application in. You know, I got relationships with people, and got a phone number to a girl that who's my wife today, you know. These things happened over time. You know, these things happened because I kept showing up. These things happened because people told me when I got here, keep coming back. Over and over and over again, I kept, hearing the same message, the same constant message. And I needed repetition, man. Like, I'm a dust head, you know, I'm a crackhead. You know, I sniffed a little dope, and, you know, my memory would lapse at any given moment. So I needed to hear things over and over and over again. And today that message that rings so clear to me, and I see it on a regular basis, is that we keep coming back, we keep showing up, we don't pick it up, we can't get high. So I'm grateful for the message. And you know, the relationships I'm gonna talk about is about, like, having a relationship with my wife that, like, I don't have the need to put my hands on her. I don't have the need to, like, beat my kids. I don't have the need to, like, you know, like, want to control things in my relationship. It works just fine. You know, she has her program, I have mine. You know, she has her support group, I have mine. You know, I know today that, like, that relationship works because I'm not controlling it. You know, that relationship works just like with my kids, man. I don't tell them what to do. I suggest to them what they should be doing, you know. And that relationship, you know, today, you know, my wife gets on like, why Tisha don't call? I don't know why Tisha don't call. Tisha don't want to call. I don't control Tisha. You know, Tisha's a grown woman. She's 21 years old today, and she was raised in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And a lot of you have seen her in the back of the meetings doing her homework and, you know, growing up here. And she's 21 years old today. I've seen all three of my kids go to college. I was that addict who graduated high school and went straight to prison. You know, 6 months later, I was headed up north, and, you know, my wife, my mother at the time was, you know, bringing me packages, and my ex-wife at the time was living with my mother sleeping with my friends, you know, and I married her anyway, you know, because I thought I could change her. You know, I thought that like if I did some stuff different, you know, and those relationships today, like my mother's still in my life, thank God, she's still around, and then, you know, like she can come up and stay in my home. You know, I have a home today, and, you know, by the grace of God, my mother can stay in my home 4 months, 5 months at a time. And then when she goes home, I make sure there's somebody there cleaning her home for her, you know. And I was that kid that like took her car and crashed her car into a tree, parked it back in the same spot and said somebody hit it on the other side. You know, so like, you know, today my amends to these people is how I live and how I treat them, how I, you know, am grateful for these people in my life. I wasn't always grateful. I wasn't always thankful. I took advantage of every situation and every place I went, every person I was involved with. Today, I don't feel a need to have to do that. Like, I'm just real grateful that like Narcotics Anonymous is in my life on a permanent basis, and I try to live the program. And how I live the program is I don't mind your business, I mind my own business. I try to stay out of your business, you should stay out of mine. And I share in the rooms, you know, like my life depends on it. So if you take it out, that's your business, because I shared it here. I gave it to you, and you do what you will with it. So like, Narcotics Anonymous told me like early on that like, my business is my business, your business is your business. And I share my business in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So I really don't have much business, you know what I mean? You know, like about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I was in a motorcycle accident, and this accident almost took my life. I put a lot of people through some trials and tribulation, you know, because I choose to ride a motorcycle. And a tractor trailer ran me over in Newburgh, and I was in a coma. You know, they gave me my last rites a few times, my wife said. And when I came out of the coma, all I could think about was the chocolate chip cookies that I made the day before I had the accident. You know, my self-centeredness, you know, my self-absorbedness. I've since apologized, you know, to my family, you know, for thinking less of, you know, what they've been through, what they've experienced, you know, seeing me, you know, with tubes down my throat and barely making it, you know, like I don't really remember none of that stuff. You know, all I remember is riding on a real nice day and a truck coming out in front, and that's it. And, you know, I ended up in the hospital. And I thought the only thing when I first came to that, like, that I had two nails missing off my finger, and I thought that was the only thing that was wrong with me. I didn't know, like, I had ripped my face open, that, like, you know, my leg had rods and pins and my screws and stuff in my foot. I didn't look down, you know, really. I was blessed to be here. I was given another chance. I was given an opportunity, you know, to share the strength of the God of my understanding, you know, because I'm here for a reason. You know, I'm here to share that, like, God is great and that, like, He works in my life all the time, you know, and if you don't believe it, believe I believe it. You know, I know, like, you know, I heard early on that God is great and God is good and all of those things. I know that. I believe that today. And I believe that, like, you should believe that I believe. Because when I came in here, I needed somebody who had the belief already to give me the belief. You know, I got a sponsor who gave me some steps in my life. And, you know, when I got to step one, after working with the banisters to the steps, I got on the steps and I realized that, like, you know, I was powerless over just about everything in my life. I was powerless over, you know, the sun rising, the moon rising at night. I was powerless over, you know, what you cook for dinner. I wasn't helpless. I could cook my own. But I knew that, like, I couldn't control other things or other people in no way, shape, or form. So, like, you know, when I got to the steps, it was about, you know, getting some hope. And the second step for me, you know, getting a God in my understanding. And how I work that today is, like, I pray on a regular basis for you, for the still sick and suffering inside and outside the rooms. You know, in my area, I took on a commitment where I can go in to other people's homes and bring them a message because somebody brought me a message. You know, so I'm going to try to give back what was so freely given to me. And I learned this process, you know, by showing up in meetings, man. That meetings came to me while I was in the hospital. Cats came out on their, you know, their day and or their evening and brought a message to me. And, so, like, for me, freedom is not free. We must do some things in order to have what we have. And how we do that is we work this program to the best of our ability. You know, for me, I am involved in my area and, you know, taking on commitments. I was a GSR of my home group. I had a commitment since I've been here. And now I'm outreach chairperson. And only through God's grace, I'm able to, you know, take on commitments that allow me to give freely of myself, because I know I'm not the end all or the say all. You know, I'm just a small portion of what Narcotics Anonymous is about. You know, Rita talked about that cat that was running out the store with the chains and stuff. I was that dude. You know, I was that cat that thought, like, I had to have what you had in order to make me feel good about who I was. You know, so when I got to this fourth step, I did some work, some research. I did some serious soul searching, and I found out, like, some of the stuff that we heard earlier about, like, what happened to us as children and young adults, and experiences that we experienced that we held on to and we thought we had to live with. And once I shared that with another human being, it freed me to be who I am today. You know, I'm no longer that guy that, like, you know, carries that straight razor in his pocket. I'm no longer that cat that when I was 13 years old trading my walkie talkies for a 30-30. You know what I mean? I mean, who does that? You know what I mean? So, like, I look back today, you know, like, I'm just so grateful to given another chance to live, you know, right. You know, to do the next right thing. I did the soul searching, and I talked the truth about, like, you know, being fearful. Talked the truth about, you know, telling lies and cheating people and robbing, you know. And when I got honest with the sponsor, man, he told me he'd done some of the same things, so I no longer felt unique. You know, I felt a part of the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, because, see, like, I belonged here because people are just like me. I no longer felt, you know, isolated, like I didn't belong someplace. And, you know, and I went on with the steps, and he was writing some stuff down at the same time, and he was telling me these were my defects of character. You know, I didn't know I had them. You know, I thought, you know, like, those was my character, and I needed to live with them, you know. Once he pointed them out to me, I began to see him things evolve in my life, where things would kick up, where I had to be honest with certain situations, whether it was to get this job with this federal organization and tell them that I had felonies, you know. Those were the things that I realized that, like, I would have lied in a heartbeat to tell, you know, before I started to do some step, you know, but they told me to tell the truth. And the truth will set me free. So I got that job, and I was working on that job when I had this accident, and now I'm permanently disabled, and I get a check, you know, disability check. And that check, you know, brings some income into the house. You know, I no longer feel like I'm not a part of my family because I'm not working, you know. And in the seventh step, they talked about them shortcomings, and things like I fall short at times, you know, like when I'm intolerant to some stuff that happens in my life. You know, the intolerance usually falls in with the kids, you know. Like, I have an older son who has a child, and he allows his girlfriend to run his life. And I get intolerant, and I want to, you know, react or say some things that might hurt some people that I really love, you know. And in turn, might hurt myself, you know, because now I won't be able to see my grandchild, you know. So I learned that, like, in this process, man, keep my damn mouth shut, you know. That, like, think before you say some stuff, you know. Think about who you're going to hurt, because in the long run, you're going to hurt yourself, you know. And eight step, I make an amends to these children by, like, being a father that, like, my father never was. You know, I make sure that, like, my oldest son, he don't make enough money to pay for his school, and I pay for him, you know. It's just things that, like, I thought that would never happen for me. You know, I thought that I would never see my kids graduate. I thought that, like, I would be dead by now. The way I lived, I thought that, like, my life would end around 30, you know. I would never have none of the things that, you know, my high power sought in my life for me to have, you know. And in the tenth step, I try to maintain this whole process of recovery, you know, by working spiritual principles. The principles that I'm talking about is, like, you know, like, being kind to others, man. Like, I just talked about listening to the old guy share stuff. I mean, I'm just one of those cats that you can come up to and tell me your stories. You know, I'm that cat who will sit down and listen, you know, because I want to be the ear that for the person that needs somebody's support. And I don't always have nothing to say. You know, I'm not really good with, you know, giving advice, you know, unless you ask for it. But most of the time, I'm there to listen. And in 11th step, I improve the conscious contact with a God of my understanding. And how I do that is I continuously pray. I continuously tell you to pray. You know, I continuously allow people to know that God has been good for me in my life, you know. And I talk about the miracles that happened to me in recovery. And it's only because I'm here. You know, if I wasn't here, this wouldn't happen for me. I believe that. You know, I got evidence, you know. And in 12th step, you know, when they ask me to share my experience, I show up in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and share my experience, my hope that, you know, someday you too, you know, can have, you know, recovery like you want it, you know, have all the blessings, have all the gifts. You know, sometimes we associate recovery with things. It's not that. I mean, I got all the things that you would ever think to have, you know, but I know if I pick up one, none of that will be there tomorrow. I was that cat that was selling my stuff at the crack spots, and think he owed me some because I sold it to him for sure, you know. And so, like, I know I don't forget. They told me those who fail to forget, fail to remember, doomed to repeat it. So, like, for me, I need to remember. I truly need to remember that, like, what type of crackhead I was. You know what I mean? And I need to remember crawling through those windows of people's houses that, like, I didn't know their names, and I still have to make amends to them today is by, like, being the dude I am, you know. I'm gonna tell you a little short story about relationship with my wife, and she's kind of controlling and stuff, you know. But the heart is in the right place, you know. The heart is genuine. The heart is about love. She came here at 17, you know, and I saw her when she came in, and I was just going through the divorce with the first wife, and I was like, yeah, she's saying the right stuff, dude. And I ran up and I got in a relationship, and they, you know, my sponsor had cut me off and told me the 13th step. And I'm with her 13 years today. We've been together 20 years, so those who judge don't have a right to judge. I'm still with that woman, and we raised three kids. And without the relationship, controlling part I want to talk about was like, if it wasn't for my wife, I don't think I'd be here today, you know, with all of my limbs. When I went into the hospital, she made sure that every doctor that saw me, she's in the medical field, she made sure that every doctor was a chief, that every doctor that saw me, you know, wasn't a resident that knew some stuff that could save my life. When they helicoptered me to Poughkeepsie, she flew me back to Westchester because they didn't have a heart specialist. I had torn my aorta from my chest, and she saw a fit that, like, you know, doctors that knew what they was doing was there for me. This is the woman that I love, and this is the woman that I'm in a relationship with, and she raised my kids, you know. So, like, I know what it's like to be in a relationship. I know what it's like to experience what love is. And love to me is when somebody goes out of their way for you and make sure that you're okay. Not harm you in any kind of way. It ain't love if they putting their hands on you. It ain't love. It ain't love if they telling you things that harm you. It ain't love. But loving is when we care and share the Narcotics Anonymous way. When we tell you we love you regardless, regardless of what you do, you know, you just keep showing up. And that's where we got it. That's how we learn to do it. We learn through experience from other addicts that, like, no matter where you are today, you know, you and the Narcotics Anonymous meet. And Narcotics Anonymous loves you and we love you. You know, if you just keep showing up, things will get better. And you'll get better with things. And in closing, man, like, the gift of recovery is one of those things that I'm forever grateful for. In my community, we both take on elected official positions because I was told here to give back what was so freely given to me. And how I do that is I get involved in my community. I'm a fire commissioner in my community. I put my name on the ballot and they voted for me. And why this is important is that, like, I control other people's money. But it's because Narcotics Anonymous told me I could. I didn't think I could. You know, when I came into those meetings and we used to have to step out the door and there'd be five of us outside the door waiting for a commitment, and told me it was possible. And today it's possible, you know, to give back what was so freely given to us, you know, even in our community, you know, even outside the doors of Narcotics Anonymous. And I try to do that. I try to carry the message outside as well. I don't, you know, harm anybody today. I don't take nothing that don't belong to me. If I can't afford it, it ain't for me, you know. And I know that today. You know, before I used to think if I didn't have it, I had to get it. And if you had it, I'm going to get it from you. And today I'm learning that, you know, it's a process of giving, not getting, you know. And I give today by, like, showing up in the meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. And early on I heard what I always say is, many meetings, many chances, few meetings, few chances, no meetings, no chances. I'm Kevin, I'm an addict.